Have you ever noticed that there's no peace, it seems like, out here in this world today? There seems like there's no peace. And Stephanie, I asked Stephanie to sing that song. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the wicked are just like the muck and murder that gets up and tossed up. And then, you know what, it may settle down for a while, but after a while it'll come right back up. And there's all of that going on out there in this world today. And it's not by coincidence. You know, the Bible tells us in the latter days it's going to get worse. Well, I say it all the time. But I want you to understand, it is getting worse. It is getting worse. But that's not the purpose of the question. It's not that. It's where are you standing in all this is where it's at. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him? I'm going to be over to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. You can turn there, but I'll get to that here in just a little bit. But I got to reading about something. You know, according to some individuals who are smarter than me, way smarter than me, at the moment that you were born, you have 28,407 of these given to you on average. Did you know that? You have like 28,407 of these given to you on average. Some a whole lot less than others. Some a whole lot more. And we think about this, there was someone very special. You know, we think of someone that's very special if they have like 36,500 of these. We think of them as very special. As a matter of fact, we'll honor them, you know, if they have these. There was one amazing person that actually had 353,685 of these that was given to them at the day that they were born. Wow. I mean, this is good. By age 15, the average person will have only 22,995 of these left. Have you any idea what I'm talking about yet? Yeah, you'll have that many left by that time. By age 30, you only have 17,520 of these left. Keep on guessing. Age 45, you'll have 12,045 of these left. On average. Now, I'm talking average. Lord willing, on average, you'll have this left. By age 60, if the good Lord has blessed you and continue to do so, you'll have 6,570 of them left. By age 75, you're only going to have 1,095 of these left on average. That's what you're going to have. You know that? On average. Now, how many of you think what it is? Days. That's exactly right. The average life expectancy in the United States is 78 years, and I shorted you some because they added 9 months onto that. That's what they say it is. And I don't have to tell you how important it is for every one of us to take every one of those days that we have left and use them wisely, and use them for God's glory. Even if you would live 36,500 days, which is 100 years old, by the way. And some people celebrate that. We'll see that. Even if we lived that long, or if we lived to be as old as Methuselah, which was 353,685 days. If we lived that long, do you think that would still be enough in some people's eyes? No. No, it would not. I hope you understand that. In some people's eyes, that would not be enough to live that long. I mean, it's an interesting way to break it down. The Bible tells us in James 4:14 this, though. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it will vanish away. No matter how long you live, no matter how long God grants you to live, your life is but a vapor. Do you understand? And I know we all in here grasp that concept of that. Our life is but a vapor. To say that life is short would be an understatement sometimes. To say that, that's an understatement to say that. The most important question is not how long that you live. The most important question is what we do with the life that is given everyone that's in here today and every one of us. That's the most important thing. That brings me to my text this morning. Ecclesiastes 7:1. I'm going to read it, then we'll have a word of prayer. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Did you get that? I know you've heard that scripture before. I know most of you here have heard it. A good name is better than a precious ointment in the day of death, the day of one's birth. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our heart again, Lord. I praise you for this opportunity, Lord, that I have to stand before the congregation this morning. I praise you for the opportunity to stand behind this desk, Lord. I ask you, Lord, now to use me, Lord, in a way that you would see fit, Lord. I pray, Father, that the message would go out the way that you'd want it to, Lord. I pray that it would be done just exactly the way that you want it to be done, Lord. And we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You know, those words may sound dark to some. They may even sound morbid to others. But let me tell you something. There is profound wisdom in what King Solomon is saying right here. When he is telling us that it's better on the day of death than on the day of birth, what is he trying to tell us here? What is he trying to say? And let me tell you, one of the wisest men that ever lived is the one that wrote this down. You know what? Almost 3,000 years ago, he wrote this down. The Bible calls him probably, if not one of the wisest man ever to live. He penned these words down. Who is this little old country preacher to argue with Solomon's wisdom? And I'm not going about to do it because I believe his words are true. And they still hold true today. And they still hold true today. You may be thinking, how would someone dying be better than the birth of a healthy child? How could that be? It's only if that individual has come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's it. That's the only way that it is better. Because you know what? In Psalms 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know what? For those saints that have led the way before us, for those that it's hard to rejoice at their death, right? For those saints that we know that have lived their Christian life, sometimes it's hard for us to rejoice. But listen to me. As Christians, we understand that on the moment that we close our eyes in death, praise God, everything becomes better. Everything becomes better for us. Everything. That's why I believe Solomon could say that it'd be better at the day of the death than it is at the day of birth. When we see and know that they have stood the test of time, when we see and know that they have been faithful to God, it's hard for us to say goodbye to people. What got me thinking about it? I just preached a sermon Friday, or a funeral sermon Friday for a little old lady that I've known. She was 93 years old, 92, 93 years old. And she had known the Lord, but she had suffered so much in the last few years and all that she had been going through. And you know what? How many times have you heard this when you went to the funeral home and talked to people and they said, you know what? They were ready to go and couldn't understand why God hadn't taken them yet. I'm telling you, when they close their eyes in death and open them up on the other side of glory, there's none of us could argue that it was not better at their death than what it was when they lived on this life, and especially towards the end of it. God rejoices because His child has now come home. That's why God rejoices to be with Him forever and ever and ever. How? Praise God this morning. Praise Him this morning for that thought. For Solomon saying those words back then. God is delighted with the death of one of His saints because, number one, there will be no more suffering. We understand that, don't we? Job 14, man that is born of a woman a few days and is full of trouble. I don't know what goes on in your life. I don't know where you're at right now in your life. And you know what? I don't know how your life's been up to this point. But there's none of us in here that can't say that you probably have not had times in your life where trouble has been upon your life, right? We don't get out of this life unscathed. We just don't happen that way. But I'll tell you one thing, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we die and go to heaven, those things are out of here. We will never suffer any more torment. We will never suffer any more sorrow. That will not happen to us again. I thank God this morning that I'm able to read the words in Ecclesiastes 7:1 and say, I believe it. Praise God, He's right. He's right. Suffering is simply a fact of life. If it's sickness or disease, we experience physical suffering. If it's trials and tribulations, whatever it may be. Let me see. We experience mental and emotional suffering. In sin, We experience spiritual suffering sometimes. But praise God, we suffer at times in our life. But I want to tell you something, one of these days, like I told you, that is not going to happen anymore. Sin will not have no effect on us no more. We will not have to worry about this. No one is immune to suffering. Jesus states that in John 16:33. In this world ye shall have tribulations. And I've said that before. In this world you're going to have tribulations. I could go by and I could ask every one of you as you left this church today, have you ever suffered tribulation in your life? Have you ever suffered sickness? Have you ever suffered the death of a loved one and you could go on and every one of you would tell me yes, 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 because there's none of us that are immune to it. For those who put their faith and trust in the end of all suffering forever and ever is going to come to us one of these days. I believe that. I stand upon that. We will, forevermore, we will not have this in our lives. But for those who refuse Christ, their suffering only begins. It does. Luke 16:23, and you all know the story. Jesus tells of two individuals, and you know them. One is a rich man, one of them is Lazarus. And we know what happens. He said, and we know that he ends up when the rich man lifts up his eyes, where? He lifts up his eyes in hell. Because he has not accepted Jesus Christ. You think down here that people suffer. You think down here that people have it bad. And I'm not here to make light of any of that. Because there are people suffering. There are people that are going through terrible things in their life. But you want, if you open up your eyes in hell, I'm telling you, your suffering has just begun. And let me tell you something. There won't be no rest from it from here and no peace from it here for a little bit. And maybe it gets in again. It'll be for eternity. Don't believe those that tried to tell you that, you know what, hell's only for a little bit. Do not believe that. My Bible I read doesn't teach that. Hell's for eternity just like heaven is for eternity. And there are some of those that try to preach that and try to put that out there. Yes, if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart, your suffering has only just begun. Your suffering has only just begun. And I can't say it any nicer than that. You might as well do as Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15:32, when he said this, if the dead rise not, and he was talking about the resurrection, but it could be applied to those who do not know Jesus. Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the only heaven that you're going to know. You might as well eat, drink, you might as well just do what you want to do, because you know what? Your torment's coming even more. If that's the way you want to believe it. Also, those who die in Christ, there shall be no more sorrow in your life. Do you understand that? Life offers us many sorrows. It throws it right out. We are sorrowful at times of death. We are sorrowful at times of sickness, at times of mistakes and errors. Sorrow is always present in our lives, it seems like. But in John 14:1, Jesus states, let not your hearts be troubled. Why did he say that? Because you know why? Because we can be at peace knowing this right now. You and I can know this right now that we will never sorrow no more once we get over to the other side of glory. Amen? Revelations 21:4 tells us, and God shall do what? He shall wipe away all tears. Amen? He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. You know what? And then there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I can't wait. How about you?
Amen.
Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what. I've suffered enough down here in this life sometimes it seems. I'm not saying that I've got a death wish to go. And I'm going to take my life to go. But praise God, if He wants to take me tonight, don't be sorry for me. Praise God. That's why Solomon said, it is better, you know, it is better sometimes at death than it is at birth. Because why? Because you know what? Where everyone's born, they have this whole life to go through to suffer all these things. But the moment that we pass out of here as a child of God, praise God, we will not suffer no more. We will not. Isaiah 65:19 tells us that God will join His people in heaven and that He will not be any further weeping or crying. Wow. Wow. You know what? The greatest thing, I've often thought about heaven, and I try to explain it, but I'll tell you what, I can't explain what heaven's going to be like to all of you. I can't explain to you. And you know what? Neither can I really explain to you what hell's going to be like. But you know what? When we get to heaven, imagine this. You're up there with the one that made it possible, number one. You're up there with him. You're up there with your family that have accepted Jesus. You're with them, and there you will be for eternity with them. It isn't something that will never be taken away from you again. I say this at the funerals, and when we're at the gravesite, and I mean this. You look at these gravesites, and there's all these headstones and all these graves. There's not going to be a site like that in heaven. There's not one hospital up there. There's not one graveyard up there. Praise God. We can't help but not have joy and happiness the rest of our life. Yes, for Christmas, the day that we pass is assuredly better than the day of our birth. Amen? Amen. No, this will be no more sickness or death. And I've already told you that. At some point in our lives, we've all experienced sickness. Whether it just be the common cold, or whether it be something much more than that. And there's nobody in here that has never experienced someone dying in your family. I'm sure of that. Do you know what the ratio to death in human beings is? It's 1 to 1. Why? Why? Because none of us are going to escape it. None of us are. Unless Christ comes back to get his church and take us out of here before that. None of us are going to escape death. None of us. But praise God, you know what? At some point in time, we will, because Jesus said, what's going to be the last enemy that's going to be defeated? You know what it is? Death is going to be the last enemy that's going to be defeated. And you know what? He will be defeated. He will be. Due to the curse of sin, these fleshly bodies break down. There's just nothing that we... No matter how much you try to take care of it, no matter how much you eat good, no matter how much you exercise, and that stuff's good, don't get me wrong. Your body is breaking down. And it will continue to break down. I'd say this a lot. Maybe I've mentioned it here before. You know who Jack LaLanne was? Most of you here do. Do you realize that there was never a man that took care of himself any better than that man did? Do you understand that? He ate as good as you could eat. He exercised and did as much as he could do. He swam every morning. He even got to, every day he'd get up and he'd eat oatmeal and bran and all that good stuff. Then he'd go and swim in his pool, they said, for an hour. And he was doing this clear up till he died. And he died, what, 90 some years of old? And they thought, well, he would live for a long time. Listen to me. It's appointed once for a man to die. And then the most important part is the judgment. We are breaking down from the moment that you are born, you are dying. Do we understand that? From the moment that we are born, we are dying. I don't mean to sound morbid to you here this morning, but I'm just telling you the facts. None of us will escape it. What we can do is escape spiritual death, though. Because the man or woman that does not accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, they are spiritually dead, and that is for eternity. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this is corrupt. But praise God, the moment that we close our eyes in death and we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we shall put on incorruption one day. That's what's going to happen. And this mortal will have put on immortality." You heard of the immortals? Christians, we are it. Praise God, we are it. "And then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up. Death is, well, listen to me. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" You don't have it no more. We'll be able to stick our tongues at it and say, la, 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 la. Right? We can do that. In heaven, there will be no one that's ever sick again. No more death. Yes, for Christians, at death, it is better than the day of birth. Yes, it is. No more separation. There'll be no more separations. How many times have we put our loved ones in the ground and our eyes and our tears are flowed and our hearts are broke? How many times have we done that, folks? I'm telling you though, one of these days, if they were Christians, we put them in there. And if we are Christians, when we go, we will never separate from them never again. Never again. It's wonderful and comforting to know that as children of God, we will never separate again. I'm looking forward to being with every one of you up there one of these days. Praise God, you won't have to listen to me preach no more. You won't have to worry about that no more. Listen to me. You won't have to worry about it. You won't have to say another prayer. Do you understand that? Amen. Amen. You won't have to say another prayer. There was no need for it. Praise God in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He will be that sun. He'll be that light up there. You'll never have to sleep. You'll never have to eat. You'll never have to drink anymore. Do we understand that there won't be no sorrow, nothing up there to cause us sorrow up there anymore? I remember old Herbie Hoover from over 14th Avenue. I told you a story before. Old Herbie couldn't talk. But man, whenever he got up to talk, whenever he got up to testify, you could understand every word he said. And he talked, he loved to fish. And he said, man, he said, I can't wait to. He said, I'm going to get up there and fish in the river of life, he said. And he would say, and I don't know. But you know what? Heaven is so many different things. I don't know what's there. And who am I to say he can't? Who am I to say that he can't? But praise God, I'll tell you what, we understand. It's wonderful and comforting. You know, and we are instantaneously transported to be with the Lord forever. John 14:3 tells us this. It says, Jesus gives us reasons why our hearts should not be troubled. He states, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Not only our loving for brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is going to be there. That's the most important thing. Amen? That's the most important thing. You know what? Who are we going to go see first? Who are we going to see first? I tell you what, I have in my mind that I'm going to see the one that made it possible for me to be there. Amen? I want to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to praise and worship Him. And you know what? We got an eternity to do it. Amen? The one who died for us, the one who made it possible for us to be in heaven. For all those that loves us and died as Christians, we will be with them also. We understand that. Yes, it will be better at death. It will be better at death. I can't wait. I get to go see my sister one day. I get to see Ed one day. I get to see Rick again. I get to see the people that, you know, I didn't get to know Rick much, but praise God, I'm going to have eternity to get to know him.
Amen.
You know that? I'm going to have eternity to get to know him. And man, and you people down here, I know you, but one of these days, I'll never have to walk off from you again. I'll never have to go home. We can praise and worship the Lord forever together. How about that for an amen? How about that? But only because of us accepting Jesus Christ into our heart. I want to tell you that this morning. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, I cannot express enough to you that you do need to get to know Him. I say this often, but I mean it. It's not a fairy tale. It's not some story that's been rigged up out there somewhere, because you know what? Whenever Jesus came into my heart, I experienced the rushing in of the Holy Spirit. I experienced it, the flooding of the Holy Spirit on my soul, and I know how He changed my life. Praise God. Have you thought about the fact that you will one day die? Let me ask you that. Have you thought about the fact that you will one day die? If you would die today, where would you spend eternity? Ask yourself that. Seriously, this morning, everybody in the sound of my voice, talk to yourself. Let the Spirit deal with it. Look at your heart and soul and ask yourself, if I would drive down this road right here today and someone would hit me head on or I would wreck, and God would take me out of this life, where would I spend eternity? Where would you spend it? Can you honestly answer that today? Can you say that you would spend it in heaven? Because if you can't, I'll tell you what, you need not to walk up here, but you need to run to this old rat here right now or later. I don't care, because you know what? Death is coming. Death is coming. Yes, it is once appointed man to die. But the remainder of that verse says, state that then after that is the judgment. After that is the judgment. We don't escape death, but the most important verse, part of that verse, is that we will stand before a just God one of these days. You'll stand before me. You're not going to answer to nobody in this church. You'll never answer to anybody out here in this world, but one of these days you're going to stand before somebody that's going to open the books. And you're going to be on your knees. Some people say, well, I'll be standing there and you ain't going to be standing nowhere. You're going to be on your knees. Your head is going to be on the ground. And God is going to open up the book, and the book is going to be read. Everything that you've ever done in this life, and whether or not you've accepted Him or not. And I'm going to tell you, that scares me. It should scare you, because you don't answer to somebody that doesn't know. You're answering to somebody that knows everything. Two things are sure in this life, and no, not one of them is taxes. You understand that? You can be assured that you're going to face death, and you're going to be assured that you're going to face judgment. Amen. You understand that? That's the two short things, assured things in this life. People say all manner of things. You may be asking to yourself this morning, how can I be sure? Listen to this right here. A question a man asked Jesus in John 3, 1 through 17. And this will tell you how you can be sure. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except he be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Mark that in your Bibles right there. Except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't let him tell you about everything else. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? And this verse goes with it. That which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You're born naturally. The water, you know what happens whenever the water breaks? You're born naturally. That's the natural part of it. There's a spiritual part of it. You've got to be born, and the Spirit of God's got to come into your life, and that makes you born again a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven right there. That's it. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. He goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I'm telling you, I preach to you what I know happened to me. I know what happened to me. And I says, my testimony, and I'll tell you again. I'll tell you again, and I'll keep on telling you. When I got on my knees outside that church up there in 1974, that boy asked me, he said, do you want to know Jesus as your Savior? And I was ready. The Spirit was dealing with me. I got on my knees, and that boy prayed over me, and the Spirit rushed into my heart. There was no doubt that Dave Long was saved. None. If you're here this morning and you do not, if you have the least little bit of doubt in your heart, come up here and get the doubt out of there. If I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is beyond anything that man can come up with. This is spiritual. This is God sent. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this sums it all up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that through him the world might be saved. Man, that is scripture to save the world by right there. John 3, 1 through 17. You could preach that every week, and that should be enough to save the world right there. This is how you can be sure. This is how you can boldly say, yes, yes, death, my death as a Christian is better than when I was born. That's how we can say that. That's why we can boldly say that. Oh, praise God. This morning, they come and get a song. I'm done. I hope you got out of that this morning, what I got out of that. You know what? It's my job, and it's Jamie's job to preach it to you. Amen? It's the teachers in this church's job to teach it to you. I'm talking about the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit is the only one that can drive it home to you. The Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard preaching? Have you ever listened to teaching or even read the Word of God and not understood it? And then one time you're sitting there and the Spirit deals with you and it drives it home and then you understand it. That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit dealing with you. That's the Spirit trying to get a point home to you. Listen to me. If you are not ready to die this morning, you need Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen.